witnesses of something better. I was talking with a student this week, and he asked me, "So, Father, how do you convince someone that Jesus is alive and not just a historical figure from 2,000 years ago?" So I did my Father Matt thing, and I asked him a question back, and I said, "Well, how have you encountered Jesus?" And he said, "Well, I've experienced his healing in my life. I've experienced his peace. And my life is different and better because of him." I said, "That's what you say. The witness of a living Jesus is shared when we share how we've encountered the living Jesus, the difference that he's made in our lives. That's our witness." The disciples today, Jesus exhorts them to witness what they have seen for themselves, that the resurrection is something real. It's not just a spiritual ecstasy or something. It's not just an idea, but it's a living thing that Jesus was able to, they were able to touch his hands and his feet, and he was able to eat fish with them. A ghost can't do that. It's not just a spiritual thing, but that Jesus was truly risen, and you and I who share in his resurrection, we will also rise truly also. Now, so they go out and they share with other people what they've seen, what they've witnessed. And you could imagine that people were skeptical. Like, no, Jesus rose from the dead. And they're like, sure, what else? You know, whatever mushrooms they had at the time they thought they were on or something, you know. But in a similar way, that it's understandable that people might be skeptical about us as well. Like when we share the good news and people don't receive it, there's nothing new about that. That what we're sharing is supernatural, that it's above nature. It's something big. And the news that we share, it's not easy. We don't witness the good news because it's easy. We witness the good news because it's better. The good news is better than anything else out there. That whatever your anxiety, illness, death, that there's better news out there. It's Jesus. And we can go and share that with the world. And so how do we get better at witnessing that? We have a few suggestions in our readings here. I guess maybe the first is all three readings touch on forgiveness of sins. That is to say, we're not perfect. And so I want to relieve you of the expectation you have to be perfect. But by leaning into God's mercy and forgiveness, we become healed. We become better. So the first suggestion to be a better witness is to encounter his redemption, his healing in our lives, and let that mercy change us. Two, Jesus helps the disciples understand the scriptures. He speaks about the prophets and the Psalms. And so the second thing is, if we want to get better at witnessing, is to spend more time with Scripture. Like, I mean, you know, opening it and reading it. There's a Bible in a Year with Father Mike Schmitz. He'll read it to you, and then he summarizes it. But knowing the Word of God and asking for Jesus and his Holy Spirit to help us understand is only going to help us. It's going to help us personally, but also help us witness to others. Third, in our second reading, St. John talks about, he exhorts us to keep the commandments. Is it not true that if Catholics were unified in following the commandments and living that in the world, it would be a stronger witness? I remember in high school, especially my sophomore year, it was like my Mormon year because all my friends were like from the Church of Latter-day Saints, you know? And it was pretty consistent that, okay, my Mormon friends, like, they weren't going to drink alcohol, they weren't going to drink caffeine, they weren't going to cuss. They taught me creative ways to do that, but anyways, and they just avoided other bad things. Like, it was consistent. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, no matter what Mormons I met in my school, like, it was consistent. And it was a pretty strong witness, you know? And if you found an outlier, that's just what they were. They were an outlier. And I just wonder, you know, when they do studies on the, you know, people, and they say, oh, who's Catholic and whatnot. Catholics, we really blend into the culture in a lot of ways. Maybe not people who go to Sunday Mass every Sunday, but in general, you know, Catholics, you could, you know, get divorced, are addicted to alcohol, commit abortions, cuss. You can, you know, like all those different markers. We're just like everybody else. That we're not following the commandments. We're not living that witness in a way that the world can say, like, they've got something over there. And so I think there's an opportunity there. But even if we are the only one, even if you're the only Catholic in your friends who doesn't drink because you're not 21 yet, it does stand out. It's hard. But it is a witness. Even if we're the only one and we're not doing the group thing together, that even as a single person, that witness matters, and it does stand out. And the last little tip is, how do we stay good witnesses? Is to remain in Jesus' peace. That's every time Jesus appears, he says, peace be with you. And there's something like living in the world then, living in the world now, there's reasons, I don't know, to be anxious, to be afraid. But perfect love casts out all fear. And so my job is not to convince anyone. My job is to stay close to the Lord and be reminded that there's a better way. And even if none of my friends agree, even if the world thinks I'm crazy, that there's a better way. And that I can rest and remain in His peace no matter what's happening around me, that I know the one who's more powerful than death. I know the one who can heal my sin and who's working to redeem me. And that's all I need to know. I don't have to know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't have to have it all figured out. But I know that He's with me, working all things for good. And that can give me peace. And our world's looking for peace, right? I want to give a couple examples of what this witness looks like. There's a movie coming out this week called Irina's Vow. It's about this woman who lived in Germany during World War II, and when it was announced that they were, you know, rounding up the Jewish people, that she's like, I want to do something. And so she had the idea, I'm going to house Jewish people in the basement. The problem was she lived and worked for a Nazi officer. And so in the home of this Nazi officer, she was hiding Jewish people in the basement. That she was saying that me doing what's right and living this way, even though it might get me killed, is better. That doing something selfless and charitable for other people, even if it gets me killed, that rather than looking out for number one, but rather laying down my life for other people, is a better way to live. And now they're telling her story in this movie, and who knows, maybe she'll be canonized as saint one day or whatnot. But even if not, it's a powerful witness. Number two, I've heard a couple news stories this week on one of the people who came into the church 2 weeks ago at Easter, which a lot of people came into the church at Easter, right? But this young lady's name was Bree Solstad. And what's unique about Bree, and why it made headlines in different areas, was that she was a sex worker. And that's how she made her money. And she went on a pilgrimage to Italy and actually started like just stopping in these different churches. And something happened. That she had an encounter with not just something beautiful, but she had an encounter with beauty itself, which is God. That it began to work on her heart and lift her mind and soul, that maybe there's something more worth living for. That maybe her life, her body, is not just something to be used, but but has a purpose and a plan. And so she converted, became Catholic, and she says about the experience, "This is a humbling experience and one that I know may be mocked or questioned by many. I am giving up all my income and turning my life over to God. I am leaving behind my life of rampant sin, vice, pride, debauchery, vanity, and lies to, with God's grace, live a life of truth, beauty, obedience to God's divine will, virtue, and humility." That she encountered something better, and she was willing to put her whole life into it. And that's a tremendous witness for not just her followers who learned this, but all of us, the entire church. Last little illustration of witnessing. On Friday, we had a guest presenter come talk to us about the principles of life. And so the students who came, they kind of walked through like basic logic and different things about the goodness and truth of life, the great gift that we have. And when the day was finishing, right about 5 o'clock Friday, at the same time, in front of City Hall, there was a pro-abortion rally. And some of you were probably even invited to go and be a part of that. And the students, who they had just talked about that day, how we can recognize that someone might, how defensive a person might feel if they thought that one of their rights was being stripped away. If one of my rights is being taken away, that can naturally make me defensive. Like, wait a minute, like I'm lesser, I'm unprotected because you're taking away my rights. But then you look at this and it's like, well, is this woman the one that's really the only one unprotected? But that there's another human life present as well. That this unborn son or daughter. And so you could almost look at it and say, let me ask you, what's more foundational? What's more important? The right to be alive or the right to an abortion? Pope John Paul II had a quote. He said that without the right to life, all other rights are illusory. They're illusions. Who cares how good the public schools are in your neighborhood if you're dead? It doesn't matter if you have the right to vote if you're not alive. That there's certain rights that are actually more foundational, that they're more important. And that's actually something that you could ask somebody. You could say, my sense is you're very angry because you feel that one of your rights is being taken away. Okay, let me ask you, if we have to rank the rights, what's more important, the right to this, right to abortion, or the right to keep living? Well, I think the right to living is more important, stay alive is more important, and if it is, then it would trump these other rights, the right to abortion, so-called. Does that make sense? So these students, they were learning these principles and stuff, and this rally's going on, and they're like, well, let's go witness. And Father Matt says, what good could come from that? Like, and then just thinking about it, like, what if I went? I was like, well, if I show up, then they're just going to dismiss us all as, oh, you guys are just these religious fanatics. That the only reason to be against abortion is because of religion, you know, keep your rosaries, yeah, whatever, you know? Like, and I actually kind of walked away and I realized that I was scared. I was like, you know, I don't want to be dismissed. I'm kind of a people pleaser. I hate conflict. And so I don't want to enter a situation where there's conflict. But at the end of the day, it was like, I'm afraid to go witness. And what happened was there was 8 of them or whatever, they made signs. And the signs said things like, love mother and child. Pre-born women have rights too. And they went and they witnessed to these people. Not because it maybe accomplished anything major, but they did get noticed. And it's like a splinter in the brain of like, maybe there is another perspective. And what would cause a minority of people to come out into perhaps a hostile situation and to be joyfully speaking out in defense of little people. That maybe they're onto something, that maybe there's something better. Maybe there's something else going on here. And I tell you what, I didn't go, but I was inspired by the witness of these college students here on this campus who were willing to witness to that, the gift of life. And so I pray for the grace in my own life to witness about Christ. He's the one who offers us something better and gives me the grace, that all the graces I need to be his witness today.